He does talk about starting a contest with his dad to win 2 souls per week. You can see it's only numbers. He doesn't care about the souls. You never hear Jack Skop talking about going back to the souls he's won and discipling them, bringing them to church. If he was winning 2 souls per week for 25 weeks, that's 50 people. Is he in touch with any of them now? He tells about running for the sophomore class chaplain while at Pillsbury. He talks about the dead lessons and the sermons at Pillsbury because of their theological content. And again, at 16 minutes, 13 seconds, their alleged hyper-Calvinism, which is not hyper-Calvinism at all.
We walk out of class and say, wow, if that gets any deader, we got to bury that guy. It's just real cumbersome, you know, listening about hyper-Calvinism and talking through the theology books, and it just didn't seem to have much relative importance to what we wanted to do.
He talks about preaching his first sermons to the sophomore class and how boring the alliterated outline sermons in chapel were. That's at 18 minutes, 25 seconds.
Every sermon was perfectly alliterated with proper starts of sounds, you know, and perfect. They mastered beautiful outlines.
We still have not touched the book of James in this sermon, and frankly, I doubt that we are going to. Then he talks about starting the habit of calling amen during chapel sermons. According to him, he got other guys to say amen and started that in chapel. He credits that as getting something going. But yelling amen in chapel doesn't get anything spiritual going. There is a profound confusion in Jack Skop between emotion and the work of the Spirit. And this confusion and warnings about such danger have been around in Christianity all the way going back to St. Augustine. The fact that some people believe that if you feel profound emotion, if you get all revved up, you have had a spiritual event happen in your life is a dangerous fallacy. And really, it's at the heart of speaking in tongues and other errors that we see practiced today. They're just another manifestation of the same error. He talks about praying for 3 hours a day and challenging a senior, Dave, to do the same thing. And Dave got mad, but eventually did it, and then got this same so-called blessing. So Dave got Jack to preach to all the young men. This is at 31 minutes, 18 seconds. It is an extremely self-serving story about how he mightily blessed Dave.
And I walked in, and the guys were sitting up against the windows, and, you know, what's this? Well, come on, let's get it over with. And Dave told his story. He said, 3 weeks ago, a young sophomore kid challenged me, and he got right in my face and told me to pray. And he said, I didn't think. He thought you're stupid. But I listened to him. He's revolutionized my whole life. He said, I got my girlfriend, my fiance. She's praying now. And we got our little circle of friends, but you got to hear it from the horse's mouth, Jack talk.
And Jack Skop says he preached to the guys in the dorm. Then at 33 minutes, 5 seconds, he tells the story of the guys rushing out to beat the walls and wail to be used of God.
And Dave just says, fellas, I think we ought to pray. And they bolted out of there. About 50 of them bolted up and ran down the basement because there's all classrooms in the bottom floor, 4 floors lower, and all empty. And they thought it'd be a good place to play. I could hear the guys beating their hands against the block walls 4 stories below us. I could hear the wails of men. I don't think I've ever heard anything like it in my life. Just weeping and wailing. Oh, God, I want your power. Oh, God, I want to be used.
The story, by the way, has grown. In the sermon, A Fresh Anointing, it was only one guy who did this. By this sermon, it's several guys who do this. From minute 34 through minute 38, he launches very deeply into a world of make-believe, all about preaching in a Christian school, yet allegedly he'd never preached before, so how did he get this engagement? Then he came back on campus, and this was the very day after his first sermon at night to the guys in the dorm, and he finds that an emergency chapel had been called. Well, chapel was held every day, so why would you call an emergency chapel? That this chapel was mandatory for all the student body, but every chapel was mandatory for the student body. Every person who has commented on Skop's story, that is every person from Pillsbury, says that this never happened. Then Skop says that 200 pastors from the Minnesota Baptist Association called and said if Skop ever preached again, they would withdraw their support from the school. Well, even until today, there are not 200 members of the MBA. He casts the president of Pillsbury in a very bad light, a man who kowtows to people in power and makes a student suffer isolation while privately expressing sympathy to him, but publicly ordering him to be isolated. This, even to me, is sheer fabrication. You know, people tell me I hate Baptists. I'm telling you, if you think I hate Baptists, you'd never hear me say anything like this. I don't believe this. Stuff like this would never be tolerated at Pillsbury Baptist. No student would be crucified like this by the administration. I simply cannot believe this. In fact, I doubt this would even happen at Hiles Anderson, although I'm not as sure about that, but I know it didn't happen at Pillsbury. From 38 minutes, 38 seconds to 39 minutes, 47 seconds, Scoff gets into an even worse fabrication that is even more bizarre and exaggerated. I don't understand how he thinks anybody could believe this. How the Dean of Men publicly humiliated him and had every boy in the dorm humiliate him, including by spitting on him. Scott goes into detail about being spit on again and again.
The Dean of Men had the great idea to get all the men in the whole dorm to come by my room. He had me stand in the doorway of my room. He says, Jack, I want you to stand there. I don't want you to say anything. Keep your cotton picking mouth shut and let these boys come by and encourage you. I said, yes, sir. I stood in the doorway of my room, and they came one by one, and you don't want to know what they did. I've never been called the devil more times in my life. You're a demon. You're a heretic. They coughed up their spit and spit in my face. I sat there and the spit ran down my face and got on my coat and on my jacket and on my pants. And I just looked at them. I shook their hands. I said, I'm sorry. I said, forgive me. Spit at me. I'm sorry about that. And I sat there and I said, this is what Christianity is. I got all done, took a towel, wiped my face off, and I asked my roommates to leave me alone. I said, I'd like a little time alone. And I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, I want to ask you something. Why am I here? Why am I here?
I don't know how anybody could believe this from Jack Scoff, and certainly the story has been contradicted by graduates of Pillsbury who were there when Scoff was there. All right, so we're still not back on the book of James, but then Scott gets confrontational with his audience and he asks them where the power of God is in their lives.
I say to those of you that want to be an evangelist, where's your power with God? I say to you students that want to change the world, where's your prayer life? You came here and your homesickness overwhelms you and your emotions are overwhelming and you're dating and this and that and I think I want to go home and I want to ask you something. Hey! Where's the power of God in your life? Where's your time with God? You're too busy moping and crying and whining about how hard it is, how lonely you are, that you don't have time to pray and talk to God!
And yet, in all this sermon, he has not yet told them anything about God or how God uses suffering, which is really what James is talking about in James 1, 1 through 12, to build the power of God in their lives. He hasn't said anything about faith. He hasn't said anything about patience. He hasn't said anything about wisdom. He's talked about prayer, but he hasn't given any basis for prayer. The only way these young people are going to know the kindness, the love, the grandeur, the terror, and the tenderness of God is to preach him from his word exactly as he is revealed in his word, which is the divine revelation of God. That supposedly is what all of us believe. And yet Scoff does not preach that. Once again, Jack Scoff has not preached the text. He not only departs from the scripture, but departs from reality, departs from truth, and also slanders some godly men and a school that overall is a pretty good Baptist college.